Good evening. It is time. It is real estate time, and we have one of the best real estate agents in the state, Ms. Crystal Bonin with Crystal Bonin Realty. How are you doing tonight, Crystal?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you, and we thank you for being on Financial Fitness with us. First time on the show.
Yes, it is.
Won't be the last. And you've got a lot of important information, and we want to kind of get into some of that. But I want you to kind of tell the people, you know, who you are, how you got into real estate, and just give us your little two-minute intro about yourself.
So I've been doing this almost 14 years.
Okay.
And prior to this, when my husband was in school, I was a district sales manager for a clothing company, which really entailed so much traveling. Stayed home with the kids because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And then he decided he was going to open his own practice. And he said, babe, you have to go back to work because, you know, it's going to take us some while to get paid. And I had always done our own real estate. It was just natural. And so went and got my real estate license and used all the knowledge I had from running the corporation. So it made it, marketing came easier to me. Sales came easier to me. And took off running from there. Opened up my company a year after I got my license.
Okay, that's quick.
Yes, it was quick, but I just felt like I went to Burke Baker, who I adored, you know. So sorry that he passed away, but he was amazing.
He was a legend.
He was my broker. I said, you know, will you be my sponsor? We went to the Real Estate Commission, made sure that we could do it, and here we are.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely grown. Never expected it to become this, but it's amazing. I love doing it. I love the people, love helping someone get into their dream home, the repeat clients, relationships. It's just a perfect fit.
Yeah. So intriguing that you opened your own brokerage after just 1 year. And what you said that caught my attention, you owned a clothing business before.
No, so I ran, I was a district sales manager,
okay.
Which meant I had to travel Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, Mississippi,
okay.
And manage all of their stores for them.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so running those businesses now kind of prepared you for running a real estate company and that corporate structure, being a lot more disciplined and managing more people.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay, so, and I think that's a problem in our industry is that most realtors don't treat it like a real business. They don't work it like a real full-time job. And I'm sorry if I'm rubbing anybody the wrong way with that comment, but you know, I say it all the time. You know, I go into a Keller Williams office, they have 300 agents and there's four people in there.
Right.
And 9 to 5, the office is empty. And I know today's world, people work from home a little bit more, but this is going back even 10 years. And you've got agents that are struggling to make sales, but yet they're not in the office grinding, putting in 40-hour work weeks and doing those things. So I'd like to hear how you kind of took your career off so quickly and what you did differently.
So, again, not to say anything bad about anyone that does it differently, just the way that it works for us. For me, I wasn't from the area. So I had to learn the neighborhoods. I went out and tried to meet 10 new people every day for sale by owners, got lost in the areas so I could really learn the neighborhood, did the research. I would do open house Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 12, 12 to 2, 2 to 4, and I've never sold a house at open house.
Yeah.
But I've had so many clients. You have a lead right there in your face that's
yeah.
coming to you for free, you know, and so I did a lot of that. It was
yeah.
a lot of hard work, and I tell my agents that today. It's so much hard work, but you have to treat it like a job.
Yep.
Treat it like a real business. And, you know, you wouldn't go see a doctor at their house. You wouldn't go hire an attorney if they're like, hey, you know, come meet me at my house. You wouldn't.
You would think this guy's a creep or something's wrong if a doctor said, come to my house and I'll do your surgery.
So, you know, think about the realtors. You know, treat it like a business. So we have an office,
yeah.
and I really like to have my Zins or our office when I do have one right now that's leased. We're going to build an office pretty
yeah.
soon. We have a pad site, but the one that we leased, I told the owner, like, I have to come in and redo this, and he was fine with it. You know, we hung chandeliers everywhere. It's decorated. It's beautiful.
Right.
It is ours in, but the agents come in. They use the conference room. We have workspace,
yeah.
and I have some that don't come in as much as they need to, but the ones that do,
their numbers are probably much higher.
They get
than
to learn
the ones
so
that
much
don't.
More.
Yeah.
You know, they can hear me going through a deal.
Yep.
I have quick training that I can just, I can multitask like a beast. So I may be on a call, but I can also hear them. So I can run in there and say, hey, you know, when you're in this situation, here are some options. Or maybe don't ask the client that question.
Yeah.
You know, you may have scared them off from this. So there's just so much opportunity for training, motivating.
Yep.
And then as far as, so you have the office, then you also have to make sure that you're looking at return on investment. You know, what's working, what's not working. And make sure that you're reallocating the funds somewhere else if it's not working, kind of like we're discussing with your signs that you're doing.
Yeah.
To see what's out there for that and making sure that you are making a profit, because it is a for-profit business.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely not non-profit. We do a lot of service for people, but you can't run this business if it's not making money. It's a costly business. And I think a lot of people don't realize that when they hear the commissions that are earned, they're in the thousands of dollars, but we're also selling 6- and 7-figure ticket items, and you don't sell as many of those as you do a candy bar. So,
right.
You know, it costs a lot more to move that inventory. And, but, you know, something else you were saying there is how you structure and your team comes in and you have the Zen. You use that. And I call my little patio area at the house my little Zen spot with my fire pit and my waterfall and everything. And so you really do need to have that positive energy and a good workspace. I find working from home more distractions. And I love my house, but I have children there. TVs and usually there's more distractions when working from home.
It's so true. That's what, going back to the analogy of doctor or lawyer, you know, you can say, and a lot of people want to work from home, so of course they don't want to admit it, but being honest with myself, I have an office at home. I really don't need to have the office I have if I don't have agents working for me, but I do need support staff to help me have some kind of life balance now. So they need a place to go as well. But I did not get nearly the work done at home. That's what I do in my office.
All right. Definitely. And when you talk about the work-life balance, you mentioned you were doing multiple open houses on Saturday and again on Sunday. So, you know, for agents who are looking at your numbers and wondering, you know, like that's one of the first things year one, you were working 7 days a week.
Absolutely.
And most people don't hustle and grind that first year, that second year. That, you know, they work 30, 40 hours maybe. And instead, you're working 5 days a week, plus Saturday, Sunday, hosting multiple open houses, spending money to do those open houses. And those generate business, because everyone that's coming in those houses is an interested buyer.
Correct.
And so, you know, if new agents or agents who's, you know, last year with the market shifting and things, whose numbers aren't where they want to be, you know, take note of that. I'm doing a $1 million purchase with a friend of mine in Florida right now. He did an open house at his friend's listing. It wasn't his listing. It was just another agent at his office that had a $1 million house for sale, and he asked if he could host an open house there. And now he's got a $1 million buyer that we're putting under contract this month. So
yeah, you got to get out there. And then once you get that, if you do the open house, you get the client in your face. You also have to be knowledgeable about the area that you're in. So I always teach my agents, you know, make sure that it's not about that house. It's about that relationship. And you kind of know what they're looking for if they're walking into that open house. They could be dreaming, so it might be a first-time home buyer.
Right.
But, you know, print out the MLS sheet for everything that's active in that area, in that price point. Have it with you. Make sure you know the HOA fees. Make sure you're familiar with the comps in the area. And do your homework before you go.
Right.
I have a funny story, and I'm not going to mention agents' names, but two of my agents, one being new, one being seasoned, held an open house, same neighborhood. One is in the front, the newer one's in the front, and I said, please make sure and send anyone that comes here to the home in the back. So they had the advantage. They get the client first. I call after open house. I ask the first agent, the new agent, how did it go? I only had two couples. Neither one was serious. I was like, oh gosh, you know, at least you tried. Let's talk about what you did. Call the other agent. That agent was busy showing houses to the couple that, one of the two couples that he thought was not serious. She brought a purchase agreement to my house, because at that time we didn't have DocuSign. But she brought it to my house, and I sent it off for her for a $560,000 house. Same people that he thought were not interested.
Right. And that speaks volumes to, you know, any business owners. You know, you're spending money on leads, on marketing. you've got to really focus on the training and making sure that your people are asking the right questions and finding out what really motivates the clients, what their hot buttons are, what their wants and needs are, and understanding the client. Like, you've got to dig deeper and get involved. Like you talked about relationships, you need to have a relationship so they'll open up and talk to you, because she probably didn't ask any questions, really. Just tell me what you think of the house. And they're walking around and they're like, okay, great, see you later. Instead of engaging in an in-depth conversation and asking the right things to find out what these people wanted. And like you said, that's a $500,000 sale that walked right out of that door.
Correct.
On the same day, and one sales rep says, oh yeah, they're not serious. Another sales rep closed them and got them under contract.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So it is, you know, I always tell my guys, there's no bad leads, just bad timing or bad loan officers or bad salespeople.
Bad follow-up, right.
Yeah, because it's usually, a purchase might be 6 months from now, so it's usually just a matter of follow-up too. Yeah,
yes.
So speaking of following up, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to come back with Ms. Crystal Bonin from Crystal Bonin Realty after this. Good evening. Our second segment of Financial Fitness. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate all of you. We've been talking a little real estate with top real estate agent Crystal Bonin, and kind of want to get into some things now because the market is such a big topic. Recession, you know, the TV wants to scare everybody to death. You probably want to just hide under a desk and you know, cover your head. But the reality is there's actually some positives that are happening. There's some good things for buyers. There's some good things. And so kind of want to talk about, like, what you're seeing in the market right now locally and what the forecasts and projections look like. And then we can kind of talk more into, you know, where we see and where the top economists are seeing the real estate market heading for the future.
So we are actually busy. You know, I was busy through the beginning of January. We did have a little slump there, but we've been super busy the past probably 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Everything's picking back up. Of course, it depends on what's happening with the news, but we try to educate the clients.
Right.
Make sure they realize that, okay, yeah, maybe the rates are a little bit higher. We can try to get concessions for a buy down. You know, there are so many options out there, but if we go back into that crazy market, because we still are technically in a housing shortage.
You know, very big housing
builders
shortage.
Have not built the way they were building. Sellers are not selling.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to move on and, as we discussed, have that higher rate when they're at a low rate right now. So there is still a shortage. And we just try to educate people on that. If you don't buy now, you're waiting for those rates to go down, then you could be in multiple offers again, you know.
Yeah.
And the people that are still waiting right now, if they had bought when it was 5% and they thought all of a sudden, you know, it's going crazy, they'd be really happy that they did.
Absolutely. You know, and so I've been coaching. I did an interview recently and was asked, you know, what about rates going up? And I said, well, people forget that these higher rates right now are actually advantageous for buyers. And people are going to think, what does he mean? Why is that an advantage? How's that good for buyers? But it's good because it's got the other 50-60% of buyers sitting on the sidelines at home waiting. We hear this all the time. I know you hear it. I'm waiting for rates to drop.
Right. Like, please stop.
And that is the same thing that 10 million other people are doing. And I use these pretty simple numbers, just, and they're from about a month ago, but these are very, you know, close to what the current numbers are too. Is there's less than 1 million homes on MLS listed right now for sale, and there's you know, a few hundred thousand that are under contract. So you're really talking about 750,000 or less active listings at any given moment on the market. So we've got how many millions of millennials that are at that first-time buyer stage in their life. We've got the highest, that is the largest percentage of human beings in history. And so now you've got 10 million buyers that are sitting around that are waiting for rates to drop. And when I ask this question to people, when they tell me they want to wait for rates to drop, and I give them this little speech and I ask them, okay, Rates come down a point, 4 million more people come into the market. Rates come down 2 points and we're in the fours again, 10 million more people have flooded the market and there's less than a million houses. What's going to happen to these housing prices and seller concessions you brought up earlier? We've had an amazing run. I was just telling you during the break, I had a client get on a, and only a $500,000 purchase, $16,000 seller concession to pay all of her closing costs. It's paying her escrows, her taxes, her insurance, and all of her closing costs on this house. And a year and a half ago, you weren't seeing that.
Right.
And when rates hit 4%, 5% again, you're not going to see that. Sellers are going to hold all the power again, and they're going to be giving no concessions. And you brought up multiple offers. You are going to be in a bidding war again, and that bidding war is not good for anyone.
Right.
It's especially bad for our average first-time home buyer and your normal person who only has 3 to 5, maybe 10% to put down. They can't put more money over asking price even if they wanted to.
Right.
And so those people are out of the market.
And you have no fighting power for them. You know, we can negotiate and we're known to negotiate and really get our clients what they want. But when you kind of show up at the gunfight without a gun, you know, it's really, really difficult. And we actually have seen multiple offers twice in the past week.
Yeah.
And I think it was both first-time home buyer.
Right. The right house at the right price.
Mm-hmm.
What, $200 to $250?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think one was $190. Well, it was $200. And then the other one was, I want to say, $250.
Yeah. I'm actually working on a plan with a friend of mine. He just built a beautiful home, and his contractor is another friend of mine. And they just knocked this thing out the park. Million-plus-dollar home. And I can't believe how quick this thing's going up. And super sharp guys, they know what they're doing. And another friend of ours has some land that we're looking at. And I told him, I said, we need to build some townhome style homes, lower cost, 250 and below. They'll be sold before we even pour the concrete and the slabs, because there's nothing new construction under 250,000 anymore. You just can't find it.
You really can't.
Yeah.
Difficult. I mean, the right house at the right price is still selling. No matter what the price point is, you know, we're seeing a lot of cash buyers come in. And then I think now people are realizing those rates, if they do go down, we can refi it.
100%.
You know, we're maybe getting the word out like we just discussed.
Yeah.
If they're waiting and they're in multiple offers, they never get the house. The rates are lower. But if you buy now, I know I hate the saying, date the rate, but
yeah,
it really could.
It's kind of lame, but it rhymes and it's catchy.
Does. But they really can't
date
the rate.
Marry the house, date the rate.
Yes. You know, if you're waiting for those rates to go down, get the seller to buy down your rate now.
Right.
And get in the house you want before you can't afford it.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, rates go up and down. It's historically proven. And so you get a 6% or 7% rate today. When they come down, you refinance. And there's no prepayment penalty on most of the loans out there right now in America. So take advantage of that.
And we're just really getting back to pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Prices. You know, when I was pulling numbers going through the past 5 years, in March, our closings were close to what we had in 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
So 2020, 2021, you know,
that was
a little crazy. But we are just getting back to normal numbers.
Right.
Even the rate is something that we were used to, that low rate for so long.
Yeah, we got spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a month, my highest average, I got over $400,000 average for the office, and that in Louisiana, that was unheard of. But we were mixing in some Florida and some Texas too, so you get spoiled when the loans are that big and they're just coming in one after another. And but that was not reality, you know. That was the boom. I mean, that was a 2% rate market,
right?
So, you know, things get back to fours, fives. You know, it's going to get real competitive again to get a purchase contract accepted. So, you know, I tell people, I'll say it one last time and we'll move on to talk some numbers, but you guys really do need to look at the fact that right now, sellers who are selling, they're motivated because they're selling a house that probably has a 2 or 3% interest rate, going into another house, usually for a higher price point, with a rate that's double what their current rate is. So to do that, there's a high degree of motivation.
Right.
And that's what you want as a buyer. You want motivated sellers.
And of course, the numbers that we're going to go over are not finalized by MLS, but I had to kind of go the long way to get some of these numbers because they weren't out yet. But the ironic thing is that 2023, for the first quarter, we had a higher median price point than we did in 2021.
Really?
I don't know if it's because maybe some of the prices, the sellers are coming down on concessions. We're giving concessions, so maybe that list price is getting bumped up a little bit because we know it will appraise for that. But yeah, it was 276 in 2023 first quarter and 271 in 2022.
So appreciation still with rates up. So that's a great point because the people who, the same doom and gloomers that we're going to wait for rates to drop, the doom and gloom media, they're talking about a housing crash and a housing but all that, for anyone who knows the market, knows is total BS. There's not going to be a crash. Even Dave Ramsey, who I don't agree with everything he says,
right?
But even Dave Ramsey said, buy now, refi later. And another thing he said that I've said a dozen times is, you have an inventory shortage. There's not going to be a huge discount in prices because supply and demand dictates the price. And you still have an undersupply and an over demand for the number of houses on the market. So that's I'm glad you shared that because
it is,
especially to say that it beat 2021, the peak when you had multiple offers on every house. People's houses are still selling now at a better price point than they were during the peak. So, you know, people who are worried about buying, that was a fear factor I heard. I don't want to buy and lose my equity because prices drop.
And I had a builder call me and say, raise the price on the house, it's new construction, $10 a square foot this weekend.
Wow, That's really interesting because I just saw D.R. Horton not long ago giving huge concessions.
Yes.
So you gotta stay tuned for our second half of Financial Fitness after this short commercial break. Welcome back. Second half of Financial Fitness. It's time to roll. We have Crystal Bonin in studio. If you didn't catch, right before the break, we were talking about the market changes from last year, 2021 to 2023. Everyone talking housing bubble and prices dropping with rates going up, and it's completely wrong. And she shared an interesting fact. The first quarter of this year, housing prices are up almost $6,000 from the high in 2021 during the refi and purchase boom with 2% interest rates. So we've seen an increase from 271 to 276, 276,000 here locally. So that's a promising number. I love to see that. And it proves yet again that most of what you see on the news that's negative about where the market is going, the housing market, is not accurate.
Right. And then in Louisiana, I think we have to remember that we almost always correct our market before it really, really takes a hit on us. We still have oil field projects going on.
Yeah.
I know personally I have a lot of Exxon clients,
right,
energy clients moving in, moving out. So we're still seeing the movement.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely there. Days on the market was a little bit longer than we had last year, but that's definitely not a surprise.
Right.
But yeah, it was real surprising to see. So we had multiple offers just in our conversation, kind of thinking about all of this, that I've seen over the past week. Builders wanting to increase the price of their new builds, $10 a square foot.
Interesting.
That's significant.
That's a lot, yeah.
It is. And so, you know, they're feeling the confidence as well.
Yeah. So stop waiting is the message that we want to get across.
Yeah. If you buy it now, you could refi it when the rates come down.
Right.
Instead of waiting.
And you're building equity because you buy now, when rates go to 4% again and prices shoot through the roof, your equity position's even stronger.
Exactly.
So, you know, definitely some things to think about.
I think everyone's just so scared. They do watch the news, and I try to shelter myself from the news as much as possible.
It's toxic.
Like if they have a hurricane coming, somebody call me or text me because I honestly never know when
there's storms. I that's so funny you say that. I'm the guy that on Thursday or Friday, you know, my manager or my employees, I only know when there's a major storm because I can't bind insurance on houses. I don't pay attention. I never watch the news. I don't watch the weather. And I will find out that there's a hurricane because I can't get coverage bound on a house. If it's not hitting us directly where I have houses under contract, I never know that there's a storm coming. I could get completely blindsided and hit by a hurricane.
My assistant that retired still texts me when there's a hurricane coming because she knows. I mean, it's so negative. Everything on the news is so negative.
It's awful.
And half of it, I mean, you might as well just get your information off of TikTok because it's not correct. It really isn't, you know?
Yeah.
But we're out there in the market. Did we have a slowdown? Yes. But when I went back and looked at all the numbers, we're just correcting. It's just getting back to what it normally was.
Correct.
And we're seeing it really get active now.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I can't keep up. Like, my phone is ringing off the hook again. And, you know, my manager's helping me with everything. My employees, like, I'm giving some of my referrals and some of my contracts to some of my loan officers because they're coming in and I've got to focus on running the business. Right. And it's a good feeling to see that again, mm-hmm. where getting to where you're almost too busy. There's no such thing as too busy. I'll just hire more people. But,
right.
But it's a good thing to, like, I'm going to be working as soon as I get out of here. I'm going to, you know, have dinner and then I'll be working till time to fall asleep.
Oh, I was on the phone in the parking lot. I had to hang up with, I had to apologize, but I had a client that called the office today. I had to call her back, and we're in the middle of a conversation. And I was lost trying to get here, but I kept passing it up. But anyway, so real estate agent at its best, lost. But yeah, I had to give her a call back so I could set her appointment. You know, we still have another contract that we're negotiating that's not back in yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, the same. It's definitely busy.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting at home eating bonbons by any means.
No, you're in the office, and there's something to be said for the agents who are in the office working full-time. I see a 4 to 10x difference in production. Now, there's some agents that do good numbers that work from home. But I still would bet that if that same person worked in the office full-time, their numbers would be higher.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the only time you should be out of the office or not at your desk grinding, if you really want to work from home, you need to grind and be at your desk, is when you're showing houses.
Right.
You know, like balance your time and you know, because what we do is I always say the second most important job behind a doctor. You're handling people's houses, their biggest investment, where they shelter their family, and you have to be the ultimate professional at all times in what we do. And take the job as serious as a heart surgeon or a doctor, because people's lives, they're homeless if we don't close, if we don't do what we do. I've had people living in a hotel when they came to me because another mortgage company dropped the ball, and crying at my desk because I got to get my kids out of this hotel. And I joke, I'm like, no pressure on me. Yeah. But, you know, we did get them closed, and that's happened a few times over the years. And so those are the extremes, but it happens to people.
It is. I mean, I laugh because I will get some of my husband's patients who are also my client, and they're super sweet in his office because, of course, he's taking care of their health.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to their money, I mean, they want a big house and they want their money. So whether you're on the listing side or the buying side, you know, it's emotional for everyone. You're dealing with their family and their money.
Oh, yeah.
And their biggest asset for most people.
Right.
So you have to know what you're doing. You have to know when you don't know what you're doing. And definitely have a good mentor. You know, I think for all agents, you should have a mentor that has been the place you want to go.
100%. Yeah, I'll never hire a fat personal trainer.
Right.
I'll never hire a marketing or a financial advisor that doesn't have great results from their marketing. I'm not gonna hire a financial planner who doesn't make more money than me, because how are you gonna help me make money if you don't make a lot of money? If you're a financial planner and you're not a millionaire, I don't want to work with you, you know. And same thing in real estate. If you're not a top producing real estate agent, a top loan officer, a top producer who knows this side of the business inside and out, you know, it's not worth it. I've gotten deals from people who had family in the business because they don't want to work with their family because they know he or she is not up to par for what they do.
I know. I hate those phone calls, but we get those as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think the slowdown was actually really good for me in one way for my business.
Yeah.
Because it brought back a lot of people that knew they needed someone with experience. They knew they needed the marketing, the negotiating. When everyone seemed to have went and got a license during COVID, the real estate boom was here, they could hire anyone. They could hire their cousin, Sally.
I call it thinning the herd.
Yes.
Same thing with mine. Like, a lot of these companies are folding. A lot of loan officers are exiting the business because they don't know how to market. They don't know how to get business. And they weren't that good at this job. They were just in the right place at the right time during the refi boom.
So many people. It's the same thing with real estate agents. You know, there are, we get a contract across our desk, and I'm like, who was responsible for you?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Have you ever seen the South Park episode where Cartman becomes a realtor?
I have not, but I will admit that I watch South Park a lot.
You're going to have to watch it.
You have to
YouTube it or find it online. You're going to die.
Is it pretty realistic?
It's South Park, but some of it is just, like, the jabs and the jokes and the digs at the realtors are priceless. Like, my little boy, Asher, and I watched it, and we were dying laughing. Yeah, so it's definitely one to watch. Any realtor in the industry should watch that episode. It's priceless. You know, kind of getting that the stigmas and how there's too many agents, and you know, Cartman goes and then he becomes the top agent in town. it's pretty good.
I will definitely watch it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to admit that I started watching South Park a lot when we got our big golden doodle, because as a puppy he would bark so loud and at night just trying to take him out. So we had a TV on the screened in patio, so we got there and at like 4 in the morning, that's what was on.
Comedy Central.
So yeah, I was watching Cartman. Yes.
So tell me some other interesting, like, on the market, what's going on right now? Prices are up.
Yes, activity is definitely picking up. I mean, we can see it with our marketing, the way that how many people are hitting the website, how many people are kind of re-engaging there. So I think we're going to see a big boom coming.
Yeah.
It was predicted that it would probably hit around this time, depending on who you spoke with.
Right. Don't ever talk to the doom and gloomers. But the top economists that I follow a lot, they're all predicting, you know, the market improving. Rates won't start really coming down till probably end of the year next year. We should see a little bit of improvement, but you know, the market, like they say, spring buying season, you know, we're seeing that pick up. So, you know, we'll talk right after this short commercial break. Our final segment, time flies when you're having fun. Stay tuned for our last segment. All right, guys, it is our final segment. Like I always say, time flies when you're having fun. And when you're talking about something you're passionate about, and I think we're both passionate about real estate and helping people and actually being the best in this business at what we do. You know, like, you really have to have that passion to work harder than everyone else, to, you know, go the extra mile. You know, a client needs to see a house at 7 p.m. because it just hit the market. You know, you got to be willing to take that call and get out there and do it. So, you know, what do you see that really, you know, sets you apart? You know, you got a huge increase. You opened your first company in a year. Most people have to be a real estate agent for several years before they even think of getting to that level. Last year, you were a top producer when the market was down, but it didn't affect y'all's production. You know, how did you continue that even when the market shifted and a lot of people started exiting the market or you know, their numbers declined 70-80%?
I think it is discipline. You know, it's hard work. And I didn't build this overnight. You didn't build what you have overnight. And a lot of new agents come in thinking like, okay, I'm here, have my license, you know, gonna make it. It's all the hard work that you put into it over the years, and taking those same disciplines that you had before and making sure that you're putting those in place.
Right.
I mean, we were so busy, I had gotten a little bit laxed where I maybe wasn't making my calls as often as I should, touching base with my clients. You know, you kind of push some things aside, but I never ever let that go.
Right.
You know, made sure that I did it. Maybe I didn't do it quite as long because we're out showing houses and waiting in line with our coffee and trying to get the clients their house. I think a lot of mine is also repeat referral, because whenever I take on any client, I want to make sure that when they leave, they're satisfied, they're happy, they know that I have done my best for them.
Yeah.
And that's important to me. That's why I do it. Yeah. You know, it that definitely sets us apart. And I think we're on the forefront of everything. Like when we got the Mercedes Sprinter van, people thought I was insane. You know, our clients love it. They get to go to their closing in a party bus. Are you kidding me? They love that. So I try to be ahead of everyone yeah. else on the marketing. I study other people, see what's working in other markets.
Yeah.
Have a lot of top agents in other markets that will exchange ideas. We're not competing against each other.
Right.
And even people that are local. You know, I share a lot of ideas with them, yeah. whether they work with me or not. But our marketing definitely helps.
Top producers get it, that it's a big ocean and not a small pond. So that's the same thing, like, with a lot of the top guys at U Mortgage that I work with, and top LOs and coaches. There's no secrets. If you have something that's working, you can share that, and you're not always going to, you're probably never going to compete over the same one borrower.
Right.
So the odds of that are so slim that, you know, top producers understand we can learn from one another and do more business. We could host events like the event you came to that I did. You know, we can collaborate and share marketing expenses, share ideas and do things without competing and cutting each other's knees out from under
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. I mean, I could not do all the real estate in the greater Baton Rouge area by myself.
No.
There's plenty of business for all of us. And I think the top agents realize that.
Yeah. You know,
we've been around long enough. We're ethical. We enjoy working together.
Right.
You know, that's
the top agents are the easiest to work with. It's usually the lower producing agents that make my job so difficult that, you know, they because they're desperate. They need that check. They need it to close. And you know, the top producers, when there's an issue with an appraisal, when there's something that needs to be renegotiated, okay, great, I'll get right on that.
Right.
There's never an issue. When I find the biggest issues is usually we've got an inexperienced or a subpar agent on one side or both sides of the transaction, and they can't work together. And they don't understand that we're all a team and working together
right.
for the same goal.
To broker the deal.
Yeah, to put it together for the buyer and the seller mm-hmm. and you know, really make it a smooth, easy transaction. I have so many people, my clients are never stressed out when it gets to closing. If you're stressed out and unhappy, you didn't have the right team around you.
That is so true. And I tell a lot of people that. I'm like, you know, I hear, oh my gosh, my home buying process was terrible.
Yeah.
And I never wanted my clients to feel that way.
No.
You know, I'm like, it's emotional for sure. We kind of know the ups and downs that you're going to go through before it happens. And we try to really make sure that you don't even experience that.
Yeah.
You know, anything we can fix, we fix it before they even know if they ever knew it was a problem.
Right.
And I want them to want to buy another house and to be excited. It shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
You know, and agents that work together to broker the deal. I mean, this person wants to sell the house. This person wants to buy it. Let's get them there.
Yeah.
You know, get them to the goal they want. Let's help them achieve it. And it can be done. It
yeah.
really can. And you can do it without it being stressful. You have a good lender. They're not,
yeah.
you know, they're not panicking if they get decline the day before closing, which is absurd.
It is. And 9 out of 10 of the deals that I've closed that were denied somewhere else, the problem was present all along.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't have the right product or the right underwriter to get the deal done. But most of it should have been seen up front. And a lot of that has to do with who you're working with, not
Absolutely.
Having the expertise and the ability to see that.
I mean, the lender to me is as important as the other agent.
Oh.
When I'm in multiple offers, I am looking at the lender and the other agent and, mm-hmm. you know, talking to my sellers about my experiences I may have had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People, I mean, you get a reputation as a lender. You know, you guys see a Quicken Loans approval letter from a purchase. They don't want to see that. You know, because they're a big national company. They're good at refinances. They're not good at purchases. You know, they'll eventually get there because they've got the billions of dollars behind them. But, you know, I know from agents that would call me and they're like, I saw your approval letter and I saw this other one and I'm taking yours.
Absolutely.
And that happens too. I've gotten that call several times, you know. And
we know the client's solid. You know, we're not
yeah.
going to have something pop up that should have been caught
yep.
later. And that's hard for us because as an agent, you know, we may have 3 transactions going off of that. And that means people that have packed up their homes.
Yes.
You know, they are ready to move on. And one thing falling apart when you have that,
right,
that could have been seen early on is a problem.
Yeah, like I said, when you think about how important our jobs are, so your buyer gets denied. People forget there's a seller on the other side who's probably buying another house.
Right.
And so now their transaction just fell apart. They might have school starting, kids enrolled. I mean, so the domino effect is huge when something doesn't go right on the lending side. And so, you know, that's why everyone has to be that top level professional when they're working together on brokering these deals together.
Absolutely. It really can be a fun, enjoyable process.
It is.
You know, and I wish more people would have that experience. And I hope more agents out there start really taking that into consideration, that you have not only the buyer, the seller, they have a spouse most likely, kids.
Yeah.
There's a whole family, maybe a mom that they're trying to get,
right,
you know, to a place where they can take care of her as well. There's just so many aspects of it that need to be kept in mind throughout the process.
And you know, it just hit me too. You know, look at who you're working with. Don't just go with the friend or the relative, especially, God forbid, they do this part-time. If, just like you said, would you go to a doctor at his house? Would you go to a doctor that's also a mechanic?
Right.
And he just does surgeries part-time because he's not that good at it and he's got to have a supplemental income. If someone does real estate part-time, they're really not good at it because they can't make enough money at it to support their income. So that's a huge red flag to me.
Right.
And, you know, also, what are their production numbers? How many deals have they sold? How many transactions have they closed in their career?
And in that price point.
Yeah.
You know, the price point, it's different to market $1 million house, a $750,000 house, than it is to market a $200,000 house.
Interview.
You know, it's different. Different types of marketing that are done for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, have that interview and talk it out and make sure that you pick the right agent, the right loan officer. Ask those tough questions, you know, about their production, their history, their experience, you know, because this is not quite surgery, but it's definitely important.
Feels like it sometimes.
So before we close, we got just a little bit, maybe 30 seconds left or so. Remind everybody where to find you and how to look you up.
So I am Crystal Bona with Crystal Bona Realty. Our home office is in Zachary. You can find me on www.crystalbona.com, or you can reach us at 225-301-7088.
And Bonin, that's B-O-N-I-N.
B-O-N-I-N. B as in boy, O as in orange, N as in Nancy, I as in ice cream, N as in Nancy. I may have had to do that a few times.
Right.
If you're from Lafayette area, you know the name. Over here, not so much.
So Crystal Bonin, and it's Crystal Bonin Realty. Top producer here in Louisiana, one of the best in the business, and I thank you so much for being on the show tonight, and all you guys for listening, and all our friends on Facebook Live. We really thank and appreciate you guys, and hope you have a wonderful night, and tune in next week for more Financial Fitness.